I greet you all in Jesus' name. I want to read you a letter that I recently this week sent out to Christians via email on the internet. And I had reaction. I had many people who really supported me and they promised to pray along with me as well. And I thank Jesus for them because they are the ones Jesus really need in his body. I praise the Lord then for the faithful. But there was also one particular person who reacted very fiercely. So I want to relate the whole story here behind that letter that I send out. Thank you. I am sending this request out on a revelation that I have received during the early morning hours today. Now the Lord has spoken in the past, often sending out similar requests and especially via the prophetic ministry of my father, who during his lifetime had a special zeal for Israel's destiny. I can testify of the exactness of revelations and fulfillment thereof up until now, and especially how God had set spectacular things in motion once visions was shared in obedience to God's instructions. Now, I'm aware that many believers are regularly praying for Israel, but in 2008, the Lord had urged me through the prophetic ministry of Hephzibah Brower, who was visiting my hometown from Israel, to go aside so that God can meet with me and so that I would be able to share God's hidden secrets with believers. This is actually then referring to the prophetic word and the prophetic gift. She gave me clear revelation that God had given me a special gift of visions and revelations, and that I'm obliged to send such revelations out and to obey God. That is, in obedience to God. I just want to add here that I know it because I have received many visions from God, and this was just a confirmation given to a woman who knew me from nowhere. She didn't even know me. It was the first time she saw me, and her prophetic word corresponded then with what I already knew. Now, this is the reason why I am forwarding this strange revelation to you. These are my words. The exact meaning is not known to me. I'm still praying so that God can reveal it fully if he desires so to do. But I don't want to waste time, and I therefore am sharing it now with you. It was my intent to first wait upon the Lord again, but I feel urged to send it out regardless. I know people on the whole want a clear vision that is giving every detail, but I also know that God speaks in symbolic language, often summarizing a situation in order to convey it in concise manner. Else we will write books. God will then have to just carry on speaking to you, and man hasn't got that ability. That is to take it all in and also to remember it. That's why God speaks concisely, and he's God and we are just human beings. We are just a messenger. The message, however, is what we must focus on and not every little detail. That is in this instance. Now I wrote, I dreamt I was hearing a prophetic word going forth through a truly anointed vessel of God. It was about things that will take place in Israel. As the prophetic word was going forth, I saw the land of Israel. I will try to describe it to the best of my ability. Plowed, but not the usual way. I saw the dark, fertile clots of soil, huge but uneven, as though it was plowed with a huge implement. I think it would be better to describe it as turned over or shuffled around. You see, I tried my best to describe it. It's very difficult to describe a vision, and one can sense it from the prophets themselves. Go to the prophets and to the Old Testament, and you will see that they would say a hand looking, or looking like a hand, the form of a hand. It's not that they describe every detail thereof. Sometimes it was also strange to the prophet himself. The soil was clearly very fertile and similar to peat, sometimes referred to as peat bog, a very fertile substance usually found in riverbeds and in marshes, I would say. In Afrikaans it is peatmos, but it was clear that something terrible had happened. It was like a wasteland, and the message that I received while watching the devastation before me was that it had submerged many. It was vast. It was as though something catastrophic had taken place, as many, many were just buried underneath the ground, as though swallowed up. Yet it did not resemble an earthquake, but when I saw the scene, I immediately began to pray for those I know in Israel. But then the Lord urged me to pray for all Israelis, and a compassion then flooded my heart while I was praying earnestly. I was crying out to the Lord. I thereupon was urged by God to send this message out to Christians via the internet, and I'm therefore doing so without avail. Now please, I don't want to sound audacious, but when God desires prayer, He really means it. Earnest prayer, and not just a quick word or two. I'm well acquainted with this type of travailing prayer, for this had been the prayers we were used to pray for Israel in the distant past, and especially when God had given sound revelation and instructions through the Holy Spirit. Now, God had also given me a special message to the Jews in 1994, saying one night in a vision, "Go and bring the angel of the covenant to the Jews." Exactly this wording. Now, I have done so oftentimes, but I will do so all the more, as this is their worry of old who will rise for them. Exodus 23, Daniel 12. Nothing, just nothing, I am saying now to you will save them from total destruction and harm than, and this is the crux, only the intervention of their great deliverer from of old. We know him as Jesus, Yeshua. Only the one who had led them from Egypt will then be able to save them. And this we can gather from Daniel 12. Now, I just want to add here, of course, the Bible speaks of this warrior. The Bible speaks of him. It's no secret. Go back to Exodus 23 and Daniel 12 and you will see it. And God is not going to nullify his promises, but God wants you and me to pray for Israel when there's danger looming. I just want to wedge in here that this is a very difficult message, because the Jews don't believe in any angelic beings, that is between God and man, and especially adopting, or rather fulfilling, exercising the role as savior, as deliverer. Yes, they believe in angels, but not that God has separated one specific angelic being or heavenly messenger, the angel of presence, who was so real before the captivity. He was the one who appeared to prophets. He was the one who appeared to Manoah, Samson's father, to David. He was very active in especially that pre-exilic period. But then later, they discarded this angelic being. They pushed him on the periphery. And this is something you and I must research in the scriptures. And this is the message then that the Lord had sent me to go and bring to the Jews. And of course, I was schooled in this message, but up until 1994, I never knew that that was going to be my main mission to the Jews. Their rabbis have done away with this specific angelic being who was acting as the deliverer of Israel. Go and read again, and read it with intent, concentration, please. That is Exodus 23, and the role this specific angelic being played in Israel. And I want to tell you that this is so difficult that one would rather not have this mission upon you. It's very difficult. Very, very, very difficult. You will convince one person, and then the minute they go back to their rabbis, they will just deny it, because their rabbis have their interpretation. They just believe in this one spirit God and no go-betweens. This for now. This is the crux of the matter. What is wrong standing in the gap and praying for people, or praying for a certain person? This was actually the duty of the prophets. They had to stand in the gap regardless the prophetic word, because there's a time now that you've got to know that something might happen, and innocent people might die in the process because of things that come into play and that God sees long before the time. And that is the reason why he urges us to pray. And this is the way God had worked in the Old Testament, and this is the way he will work forever. But this does not nullify the promises. It doesn't nullify the prophetic word. Let us then be mature in our reasoning. And this is what I'm trying to do, because I've had somebody attacking me fiercely, saying that what I have shared with them was really from the devil. He said it in so many words that it was a false prophetic word. Now, before I read more what I wrote, I just want to add here that the prophets themselves did not always know everything. Did Ezekiel know the real meaning? If we go back to Ezekiel 1, chapter 1 of his book, could he explain every detail of the four living creatures or living beings in the Kavod, the glory of the Lord, so called, that vision he had? Could he explain that? He couldn't. Did they know it, the full detail of the whole vision? Else they would have shared it with us. But the mere fact that they couldn't understand it themselves is the reason why we still today don't know every detail of Ezekiel's book, of Ezekiel's visions. And the same goes for Daniel. You see, God sometimes seals the meaning of a vision and then he reveals it to somebody else. If we go to the New Testament, we will see that sometimes God would use somebody and then somebody else would interpret it. This is concerning the nine gifts of the Holy Spirit. That's why there's a gift of tongues and then there's a gift of interpretation of tongues. God gives to one the interpretation and the other one then the speaking in the tongues, the spoken tongues. If we can't understand that, then we will never understand how God really operates. And then if we go to the Apocalypse, that is the book of Revelations, I'm sure that John didn't know all the detail of his visions. He was sometimes surprised. He was taken aback. And that is why we still don't know every detail. There's many who come forward with explanations of the book of Revelations, but there's always somebody who comes with another revelation. So we don't know all the detail. I think it's about time that we are not audacious when we approach scripture. And what I want to say, you must believe in the Holy Spirit if you believe in these things. And I would rather work with people who understand the working of the Spirit than having to explain to stubborn people what the Spirit of God is about, because the natural man will never understand the things of the Spirit. That is what Paul says. And this is my desire then, that those who want to make use of this website and who want to be on our mailing list, please ensure that these are the things that you are interested in and that you would like to promote the gospel of Jesus this way. This is as I teach it, because there's many other websites you can join. I believe with all my heart that the prophetic word will remain up until the return of Jesus. Paul says that to the Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 13, I think it's verse 10, where he says that only then, that is at the return of the perfect one, that is Jesus Christ, at his second coming, then the prophetic word will come to an end. I don't believe in this idea, although there are so many who follow this tradition that the prophetic word has ended with Malachi. And many times they refer to Zechariah 13:16. You know, I'm talking off the cuff now, because this thing has really caught me a bit unawares, and I decided to do as Paul teaches me. He says that we must give an answer to those who come with this type of onslaught, or those who speak evil of the way of Jesus Christ. We've got to be ready with an answer, and that is why I've decided to do this quickly and off the cuff, so that I can declare what has actually happened and when God instructed me to share this vision. There's no harm in this vision. I have stressed it, that we've got to pray for Israel. This is the crux. We don't know what is going to happen. I think it could be that there may be bombings. There may be so much more than that. There may be, we know what goes on around Israel, what is planned against Israel. I only recently, after the vision, tried to catch up again on Israel's situation. And this is true. But I don't want to really be political here or to go into great detail. We can think for ourselves. There's attacks all the time on Israel. But there can be attacks with horrendous results, and many, many innocent people can die. And that is what God foresees. I'm sure that is. And that is why He instructed me to send this out to Christians, not to unbelievers, so that they can pray. Now, some people believe that the prophetic word stands, why must we pray? But then, why do we still want to pray? Why do we still pray? Paul says, pray timely and untimely. Israel must still come in. There's many, many, many Jews who believe in Yeshua. There's many who have come to Jesus Christ, but there's many who must repent. There's many who must rectify their lives. There's many who must return to God, to return to the Torah prescriptions, and that is what God wants for them, because they are God's people. But they are God's people if they obey Torah, if they obey the prophets, if they come back and repent, if they come back and teshuva. That is what God wants. And I can't see that this now is supposedly nullifying the prophetic word of old. Of course, this is not the case. We cannot nullify the prophetic word because it's written. And as I've said previously, many times where I preach and where I do podcasts as well, the word of God states that it will never, the word of God will never return to Him void. It's there, it's written, it's immovable, and we can then build on it. But it's not to say that we cannot receive visions ongoing up until the time when Jesus returns, because there's so much that must still be fulfilled concerning Israel. And many still have to come. In fact, this is now the time for Israel. God has turned to Israel. We can see it. It's the end times, and we know it. We can study scripture. If we really know scripture, we will understand that there is a need to bring Yeshua to the Israelis. And what I'm sure of, and not only to the Israelis, those who stay then in Israel, but to the Jews as a whole. Why? God has a very deep interest in them. They remain His people, and God wants them to repent. He wants to save them. He wants them to share in His great end time blessings, because difficult times are lying ahead. We know it from Scripture. It's not that I try to supplant Scripture. That is nonsense. This is a false accusation. And it's also not that I'm trying to impress people by using what's already written in the Scriptures. But God surely takes the Scriptures, and then He knows that those Scriptures, portions thereof, must still be fulfilled. And while we are then awaiting that final destiny, Armageddon, that will take place, and we all know the Scriptures from Ezekiel and how the nations will gather against Israel, we pray, because things can happen in between which could be detrimental to the people of Israel, and God knows it, and He wants to ward it off. That is why He warns His people. He desires to interact with them. And if this is God's way, why not be obedient to God? We are here to serve God and not people. We are here to look up to Him, for He remains in control. Not so. And therefore, I want to state my case here. But those then who don't believe in the Spirit of God, those who believe that the prophetic word does not go forth anymore, there are no prophets anymore, of course they will be the ones who will just make a mockery of this type of revelations that God is still giving. And that's why I want to say to everybody here, I'm so proud of myself. Thank God, through Jesus Christ, I'm still holding on, regardless my terrible onslaught, because I know in whom I trust, and I will share the visions that God gives me. I've got nothing to do with Satan. In fact, as I've said to a spiritualist, and this is in one of my testimonies, I've said, listen, I just want to tell you that I've received the Holy Spirit speaking in tongues, the true Holy Spirit, and God rebukes the works of Satan. And he was taken aback, because he could see that God's Spirit was then upon me, and I was about to rebuke him and that evil spirit in him. So don't come here with this nonsense that I'm in cahoots with Satan. This is a lie, and coming from people who say that they believe in Jesus Christ. Why don't you believe in the New Testament promises? Why don't you believe in the Joel prophecy? Why do you restrict the Holy Spirit works and the gifts of the Holy Spirit to the upper room? Jesus said very clearly in Matthew 28:20 that he would remain with his people forever. He will remain with us. We are his people, bought with the blood of Jesus. But now I'm focusing on Israel. There's times that God focuses solely on his people, because he's got a special interest in Israel's final destiny. And we all know that there's trouble for them, but God is not going to allow Israel to be eradicated from the map, to become exterminated or extinct. He's not going to give Israel's enemies the satisfaction to see that God is going to remove them from their land. That is their land. God gave that land to Israel, and I stand by Israel, and therefore I send this revelation out, and I ask people to pray. It's not for us to describe every little detail. We can gather from that, from the plowed land, that perhaps something devastating might happen there. We don't know. Israel is attacked all the time, and the gas pipeline goes through Israel. We know from Egypt, I read in a messianic newsletter this info, and it's attacked all the time. Those who live there will know what I mean. They live in under absolute stress, and we've got to pray for Israel. But this is a special thing that God is laying upon each and every one of us who has a concern for Israel. Namely, let us pray for Israel. Let us do all in our power. That is why God says in the prophetic word of Isaiah, not my prophetic word, please comfort my people. We've got to comfort them. Yes, there's many, many, plenty of them who have to rectify their lives. There are many who must return to the Lord. We know that. And if we pray, of course, we bring that to the Lord so that he can reveal himself to them, so that all the more he can strengthen the hands of those who work in Israel, those who are already working there, toiling for the Lord, for Yeshua. We must really understand it. And I'm saying to you that there's many who still have questions on Gog and Magog. We know Magog and the nations from of old, but Gog, the one in control, we don't even know who Gog really is. Can you really for sure tell me? Because some say it's China, and others say it's Russia, and then some come with other explanations. The prophet did not know himself all the time, and that's why we've got to pray. We've got to humble ourselves. The prophet is never God. He's never acting as God. He's acting as the mouthpiece of God. So if we say that there's no such a thing as a prophetic word, then we might as well stop praying. The Apocalypse in the 19th chapter, we read that the Spirit of Jesus, of Yeshua, is the Spirit of prophecy. So if you despise prophecy and the prophetic word, then you despise Jesus, who is the Word of God. You despise Yeshua. You must go back to the feet of Jesus. You need to teshuva. You need to turn around and repent because you've lost everything. You're following a dead religion. So I don't worry if you call me a false prophet. Jeremiah was called a prophet of falsehood. He was called a little lad by many. He was ridiculed. He was mocked. But eventually he was the prophet of God, because Jeremiah means the Lord will raise me up. And I want to say you that this is the path all the true prophets of God will have to follow. They will always be slandered and they will always be mocked, but we've got to stand strong, just as Jesus had to weather the storms. Even Jesus was called the devil himself. They said he was a sorcerer. They labeled him with all kinds of false labels, but that didn't prevent him to finish his whole ministry right up until the end. So let's take courage. Yes, I did say that I wished I could rather have waited upon the Lord, but that is what the Lord allowed me, and I described it to the best of my ability. And if you go back to the prophet's visions, go and see for yourself whether the prophet really described everything in exact detail. Like, he didn't say, this is the shape of the hand, and that exactly is a thing. You see it before you, and then God gives you the core message, and that is the crux. And God said, pray for my people Israel, because this is not the end yet. There's still a period up until the return of Jesus, because the nations must still cry out peace, peace, and they have not yet clinched peace. They have not yet announced global peace. That still must happen. We've got Paul on that, and we luckily have confirmation, because we believe in a living God. We believe in a Jesus who can speak in tongues, who can speak in revelations, the God who gave the New Testament church the 9 Spirit, Holy Spirit gifts. And it was discarded by who? By the carnal teachers and preachers. Leave them aside, and you and me, who believe that God is alive and that he can deal with us and that he can reveal things to us, he can take it from the dark and he can shed his light of the Holy Spirit upon the revelation, and we can then bring it to the world. We can then share it. Let's believe that with all our heart. Let us not discard this wonderful message of truth, the message of the Holy Spirit of God. I reject every working of Satan. I can rebuke it through the grace of Jesus Christ. I had to stand my ground against sorcerers, but thank God he gave me victory. And I'm not now giving myself airs. I'm doing it through the grace of Jesus, and because I believe in the precious blood of Jesus, and in the power of the blood of Jesus, and in the name of Jesus. That is why I can still have victory. But I believe in prayer, because prayer gives that spiritual strength. It bonds you with God. And those who are always criticizing, it's because they don't pray. They claim the Holy Spirit, but they don't speak in tongues. And if they speak in tongues, I want to hear them speaking in tongues, because God will come into action. And many people who know me this way, they know that I boast in Jesus, and I live a life for my Lord. I live a separated life for my Lord. I greet you in Jesus' wonderful name. Let's pray for Israel. Praise the Lord, so that the plans of the wicked against them can be nullified. Amen.